few weeks, you've all gone quiet on me. No? It's been all right? Have you survived? You're surviving? Well, that's good. That's good. So this morning, we'll just have a bit of a look again at the book of Revelation. Come with me to chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, come to chapter 6. This morning I want to talk about something really exciting. You right? Ready for it? Can't avoid it. Chapter 6 to 8 is pretty much, it's got to be said. I'm talking about the wrath of the Lamb. All right? So we're talking this morning about the wrath of the Lamb. I'll explain all that in a moment. And I'm going to turn to chapter 6 myself, Revelation 6, for the man on the overhead. Verse 12 we're going to start at in the New King James Version. That's Conrad. Good on you, Conrad. Revelation 6, verse 12. I was speaking to, before I read the scripture, Mark Jones, who's in Africa at the moment working, who received Christ only about, I'd say, 6 weeks ago, right, Graham? Something like that. When I was away and Andrea was speaking, it must have been while I was in Africa. And he was saying that he felt like he needed to cross the chicken line. Remember the chicken line? He was at work, and I think it was at his offices to do with the health department. And he thought, there's just far too many people here, because the lady had said, I've had this headache for 3 days. And so I don't want to, I just didn't feel like it was right. I didn't want to embarrass her either. But because I'm the boss, I invited her to my office later. She thought she was in trouble or something like that. And so she walks in and he gets down and says, look, I just want to pray for your headache. Is that all right? And she goes, I didn't know you were a Christian. And apparently she was too. But anyway, he prayed and the headache went. How cool is that? But there was another part to the story which he didn't realize, and that was that they decided, the two of them, that they would start a prayer group for the health department, and now there's four people started this new work in that area. So how cool is that? God's moving in and through our lives of church life. I said that because it's about all of us doing what God wants for our lives. And so in Revelation 6, let's look at this, the wrath of the Lamb. It has to be said. Verse 12, I've got some good statistics for you in a minute. Mine actually says cosmic disturbances as the start of this little section. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from what? The wrath of the Lamb. Verse 17, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? This is the beginning of the end of earth as we know it. And throughout history, there have been some extremely inaccurate prophecies given by man. King George II said in 1773, that the American colonies had little stomach for revolution. An official for the... That one didn't quite go down because it's a long time ago, but they had lots of revolutions. And the official for the White Star... This one will make more sense to you. The official for the White Star Line, speaking of the firm's newly built flagship, the Titanic, launched in 1912, declared that the ship was unsinkable. In 1939... The New York Times said that the problem with television was that people had to glue their eyes to a screen and the average American wouldn't have time for it. An English astronomy professor said in the early 19th century that air travel at high speed would be impossible because passengers would suffocate. Business Week, 1958. With over 50 foreign cars already on sale here, the Japanese auto industry isn't likely to carve out a big slice of the US or Australian market. Economist Irving Fisher in 1929 said, some of us business, some, well, not me nowadays, but hey. Economist Irving Fisher said in 1929, said this, stocks have reached what looks like a permanently high plateau. So what I'd like to do this morning, we've got Conrad, can we show that, let's turn the lights off and let's watch this short clip of a prophecy that the president of C3, let's turn the lights off.
My God.
Let's turn the lights off, Greg.
I can see the tallest buildings in the world crumbling to the ground. I can see the pride of man being brought down. I see the technological Tower of Babel crashing to the ground. And I see the mountain of the house of the Lord rising, being exalted above every other house throughout all the earth. The church will rise in this hour, and the glory of the Lord will fill the earth. The financial institutions will tremble and shake and be brought low. For I will come and shake the heavens and shake the earth, says the Almighty God. Nations will be shaken, that all nations might come to the desire of all nations. Jesus, they will come like streams of humans into the house of the Lord. As you enter into covenant with me this day, I will bring blessing upon my house.
Okay, let's turn the lights back on. That was, I'm sorry about the quality there. Not sure what happened, but you got the idea. Here's a man, Phil Pringle, the president of C3, prophesied before it happened, a few years before it happened, the 9/11 catastrophe. And also, it's totally scripturally, because who knows that the Bible has all the right answers? Who knows that the prophecies in the Bible are going to come to pass? And that everything that he was saying was that people were going to come into the house of the Lord, particularly in those last days or the day of the Lord, as Revelation speaks about. You know, there's something about having the Word of God and the Spirit on your life. It can really make a difference. It can change some of those decisions that you may want to make about your life. And so I simply wanted to show that from the point of view of that, you know, God speaks truth. God's alive. And that we have the same ability. We can know the right thing to do in our lives. Who'd like to know more of the right things to do and less of the wrong things? I don't need anything like me. I'd love to know more about what God has for our lives in the future rather than just myself and my own thoughts and ways. And so the whole Bible obviously helps us with that. And Revelation is like that. So you see, God has promised to shake the earth. Has already started to happen around our world. Earthquakes are mentioned frequently in the Bible. You can get the overhead ready for this. Thanks, Conrad. And particularly at major times in history. There was an earthquake in Mount Sinai while Moses was in the mount receiving the law. So he's up there for 6 weeks. I'll put this up in a sec. Just turn it off for a sec. Put it up in a minute. I just wanted you to get it ready. The earthquake at Calvary at the death of Jesus in Matthew 27. There was an earthquake at Christ's resurrection in Matthew 28. All critical times in history. There was an earthquake at the release of Paul and Silas from prison. There's to be an earthquake at the second coming of Christ, Haggai and Zechariah talk about. There's going to be earthquakes in the last days, which is prophesied throughout the Bible. Joel refers to the day of the Lord, and that in that day the earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminished in their brightness, confirming Revelation as well. And Joel 2:31 says this, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord." But the good news is this, "Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so Joel 2:32 also prophesies that. And so we know that we don't have to fear what's ahead when we love Jesus. We're also aware of what's happening. So now we can look at this. This is from the U.S. Geological Survey. Thanks, Conrad. This is the number of earthquakes in each century. So in the 12th century, there was 84 earthquakes. This is recorded earthquakes. In 14th century, there was 137. In the 16th century, there was 253. In the 18th century, 640. In the 19th century, 2,119. What do you notice about this? It's getting bigger. It's large, getting larger. In the 20th century, they lost the data. I don't know if an earthquake hit the US, but I looked it up everywhere. They seem to have unclear statistics in the 20th century, but they say that there was a lot more and they were more catastrophic than the previous century. Now look at this, because this is most current. In the year 2000 to 2012, there has been what? 332,723 so far. And the US Geological Survey and Earthquake Info Center, of those, 103 were 7 or above. That's really bad. And so they were six times more than the previous period. You see, God has promised to shake the earth. Have a look at this. Let's quickly go here. Psalm 18, verse 7. Come with me to Psalm 18, verse 7. It says this: the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations of the hills also quaked and were shaken, because he was angry. This is talking about the future. Now God has promised to shake the heavens, it talks about in Isaiah. So we've got shakings in the earth, shakings in the heaven. God has promised to shake the nations, Haggai 2, verse 7. And God has promised to shake the oceans. So not even the oceans get out of the shakings in Luke 21, 25. God has promised to shake everything that can be shaken so that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Hebrews 12, 26 talks about that. See, the Lord will preserve his own in these times of terror. Now we're talking about near the time of the end. And therefore, since in Hebrews 12, 28, it says this: therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, turn to your neighbor and say, the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. We don't need to fear. We don't need to change our lives too much. We just have to stay loving the Lord Jesus Christ and stay in relationship with him. And therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace. Wow. Let's be loving. Let's love God. Let's love others. Let's enjoy his presence. And then by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Hebrews 12, 28. It goes on in verse 29, for our God is a consuming what? Fire. See, God is primarily a God of love. He sent his son to die on the cross for us so that we may be sons of God, heirs, and as such a part of his great kingdom here and the kingdom to come. But at the same time, God is a completely holy God. And which actually means something. See, the cry of heaven is, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, right? Holy, holy, holy. Come on, let's say it together. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy, holy, holy. We worship the Lamb of God, all those things. That's why we worship. We're going to worship God in heaven. We might as well start now. When we trust in what Christ has done for us on the cross, when we live in his new life, in his resurrection life, we pass from death to life, from judgment to mercy, to his mercy seat. We get to be with him. Revelation 4. Let's read this together. Revelation 4, verse 8. The four living creatures, each, I haven't got time to talk about what they are and represent, but each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. And the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power for you created all things and by your will they exist and were created. But when people reject the lamb's sacrifice, God's holiness demands that justice be served. In the end, the Bible describes the day of the Lord. It's the day of the Lamb of God, which purges all evil. See, there's going to be no more 9/11s. There's going to be no more terrorism. There's going to be no more heartbreak. The Bible says there's going to be no more pain. There's going to be no more tears of anguish. There's going to be all that we are currently involved in, all that's going to go. Who's looking forward to some of that? It's going to be purged. No more evil. God's holiness teaches us our faith in Christ has present and eternal consequences, right? Present and eternal consequences. And so Jesus said in Luke 21, when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things will come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. And even if you are caught up in the last days and persecuted for my sake, it will be an occasion for testimony. Not a hair on your head shall be lost. So God's going to shake the earth. Second, the wrath of the Lamb. Spend a bit of time on this morning. In Revelation 6 and verse 15, let's just read it over a couple of verses again. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us. Must have been pretty bad, hey? And hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Lastly, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? There has never been any place to hide from God. Right? Adam and Eve tried it unsuccessfully. The people in Noah's time, they thought Noah had simply just gone crazy. You build your ark, but it's not going to happen. It hasn't rained for so long. In verse 16, what we have here, we have the Father and the Son, the God and the Lamb. So mankind is to fear God and the Lamb being Jesus himself. And at this point, those alive would see the face of the Lamb. So if we make it into this time of period, which is just a little bit before the tribulation, the end of time as we know it, then we will see the picture of Jesus that's no longer has he got a face that's spat on, no longer is his beard plucked out. We see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Blazing. Incredible sight it'll be. See, the gospel is life to some, and the gospel is death to others. And in the book of Corinthians, Paul states this plainly, for godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. I had an amazingly powerful experience, and I'm sure some of you may have heard this before, but when I went to India a long time ago, Dom and Deanne were with me, part of our church here, but this is when I was under Richard McAllister, I was a youth leader. And we'd gone to the home of the dying at Mother Teresa's, and one of the head nurses, I guess they were called nuns, and asked us to look after this man who was about to die of tuberculosis. And the time was close. He says, "Will you just, we know your ministers, will you stay with him?" So Richard and I, and Richard turns to me and says, "Will you just pray for him?" We prayed the sinner's prayer. And you could feel that he was like groaning and receiving the power of Christ. Here's a man, I don't know what his circumstances were, but you could feel the tangible love of God going into his life. I'm looking forward to having a conversation with that man in heaven. See, I had another opportunity about 6-7 years ago. Still hurts me today because he was a good mate and his wife was dying, 36 years old. And they knew I was going around there, they knew I was pastor. In fact, I think we were just moving from the old building to this premises. Driving up there, he lived in Mullaloo. I was praying, "Lord, please let her receive Christ." And I asked several times, and several times she said, "No, I don't want to receive Christ. That's not for me." And then, to cut a long story short, we went to the funeral. And everyone's got tears in their eyes because, and they weren't Christians, they were just my surfing mates. And they were like, "What's life worth?" They sang the very end, "I'm on the highway to hell." That was the closing song. Now, I simply want to say that because some people will receive the gospel and some people won't. But we should try our very best all the time to break through. But we are at war, church, and let's see how many people we can get it through the gates of heaven, not the gates of hell. I don't know if I could have done anything else. Sometimes it just grieves me and grieves me. But can you imagine what the son must be thinking? What he must be feeling when he took his own life for people like that? We'd shared well before that event had happened, so we'd had a long period of time. Don't close your heart, because in the end, or when you've finished your life, it means it's a huge deal. Ultimately, God's holy. He's come to redeem his... Can you imagine what the Garden of Eden must have been like before Adam and Eve? Wow! Did they, messed up? That's what we're going for. That's what we're going back to. And so people will either accept the blood of the Lamb or the wrath of the Lamb. And it's tough, isn't it? It's actually really tough to grasp. And wrath is the divine penalty of broken law and violated grace. See, I used to ride a motorbike, quite a powerful motorbike, years ago. And I used to work in Guildford, a tyre factory. And I'd ride there, and sometimes I was fairly young back then, in my 20s, and I'd ride, and I'd see how fast I could go. How if I could break this, time myself and see how quick I could get there. And one day, of course, I'd been a few months, but one day the policeman's there, sure enough, as much as I grabbed that hand on that, I was gone. See, there's always a grace period. Have you noticed that there's always a period of grace in our lives? But eventually we have to wake up to ourselves. I don't have a motorbike anymore, probably a good thing. See, an overemphasis on the love of God can destroy or nullify any fear of the understanding of the wrath of God. We can't be all loving and nothing else, right, parents? Right, parents? Yeah. Those of you who are not parents, we all know that there's certain things in life, if that happened or that discipline happened, that wouldn't be the result. And the converse is also true. It's all wrath and, you're going to be damned. Let's not be those kind of people, church. I'd rather be on the love side than that side. Yeah? But I'm just speaking the Bible today. Some will despise the love of God. And the truth of his word will be there for others. Let me read this to you, Revelation 7:17. Sometimes use the scripture when I'm doing funerals. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. See, the believer may suffer tribulation, but not the wrath of God. The great tribulation is the wrath of God and the Lamb upon a Christ rejecting, God-hating, Holy Spirit-despising world. And lastly, the silence in heaven. Revelation 8:1, it says this. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. That's actually quite a long silence, hey? When they're all worshipping the Lamb, they're all worthy, worthy. There's total silence. I think of it like this. We have a time of silence for our Anzacs, for soldiers. And it really is quite powerful. You notice how many young people are getting involved in that. It's a great thing. I was in Sydney at the last, I happened to be in Sydney that day, and there were so many crowds of people. It was quite powerful. And we should remember, right? I've said our helps keep this nation what it is, and the freedom that we have. But I think of the wrath of the Lamb, and I think of this, then suddenly there's this half an hour silence. They're not sure exactly, but at least half an hour. And I think, I think God's going, well, it had to come, but can this be different? I know I'm a holy God, and I created everything. And, you know, he said it a few times throughout Scripture that he didn't want to do what he does, but in the end, he's holy. In the end, justice has to come, and he has to purge those things so that renewal will come for his people that have loved and served him. And it also talks about the martyrs, those 300,000, let's say, every year that have died for him, which we don't know much about, and they have a special place in heaven. And I guess he's rejoicing over those. But then he's not rejoicing because there's so many who have rejected. And so there's this time, this great upheaval, and heaven goes silent. Not earth. Heaven goes silent. And when heaven goes silent, you know that something very powerful is going to proceed on earth. That's when the tribulation begins. And that's only a short period, which we'll talk about next week. But worldwide kingdom gospel and revivals happen in this time. Worldwide war and bloodshed. Worldwide famine and hunger. Worldwide pestilence and death. Anyone think that we're kind of like, there's things happening in a greater scale even now? And so we've got to take perspective on the Word of God. Worldwide persecution and martyrdom. Worldwide shakings of heaven and earth. The worldwide judgment of the seven trumpets and the last seal. Father God, you know in Psalms it talks about the silence of Scripture. Psalm 62:1, truly my soul silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. And the word sealer, which is used a lot in the Psalms, is a dramatic pause in a musical performance. And so here at the time of the end, in the midst of the four living ones and the 24 elders giving praise and worship to God, there's this silence. A dramatic pause. God is demonstrating himself as the Lord of history. Wesley said it so well this morning. The Lamb of God is unsealing the scroll. The devil's not unsealing the scroll. The Antichrist is not unsealing the scroll. You and I aren't unsealing the scroll. The Lamb of God, Christ himself, is unsealing the scroll. God the Father is turning the kingdoms of this world over to his Son. And the church in this time, as in any time period, is to be focused. Come with me to Revelation 10. Yana, you can just come up anytime you're ready. Revelation 10, verse 5. The angel whom I saw standing at the sea and the land raised up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who creates heaven and the earth and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, and that they should be delay no longer. Wow. But in the days, in verse 7, but in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound the mystery of God, which would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets. The king is coming and his kingdom. The redemption of man through the Lamb of God. Why don't we stand on our feet for a moment? Worthy is the Lamb of God. Come on, let's say it together. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb. We worship you, Lord. We give you glory and honor today. We exalt your name on high. Lord, we often don't go to this place in our heads or in our hearts. It's not easy. It's a difficult thing. And Lord, yet you do give clarity for so many things. You're the author and perfecter of our faith. Father, I pray that even in the present, our present lives, Father, that we would have a reverent and holy fear of you. Yes, we must have love, but also we must recognize that you're a holy God and eventually you bring justice. Father God, Lord Jesus, we honor you. We honor you. We exalt you. We exalt the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Yes, there's going to be quakes. Yes, they're going to increase in scale as they already are on the earth. Lord, it's just a sign, Father, that we are to stay true to our beliefs in you. We put you first in our lives this morning, God. Father, the wrath of the Lamb, you come, you open that seal, and life changes forever. Lord, I thank you that we can help in seeing more and more people in the kingdom of God's side and not the wrath of the Lamb's side. Lord, help us to be alert to the needs of those around us, wherever they are. Father, I thank you. It kind of makes sense to me that even you were kind of like, whoa, in that silent period. What an awesome God you are. We honor you, Lord. And we're also grateful too, I guess, Lord, that evil is purged once and for all, and the devil's put in his place. In Jesus' name. People of God said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful cafe time. And we'll see you. If you'd like some prayer, I'll make myself available here. Enjoy the rest of your day. See you in Connect Group or church next week.